Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
303 Jeff Katz News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Yeah. And it is gorgeous. I got to tell you something. I've got all the windows open here in the former Plaque Shack. It's comfortable, 76 degrees. The humidity is low. It is gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And you know what I don't smell right now? Weed. That was the thing that struck me over the last couple of days as I was up in D.C. You get off the train station, the train at Union Station, and I'm telling you, it's like walking onto the set of a freaking Cheech and Chong movie. You have to walk through this cloud. You're surrounded by zombies, and it's, oh, God, you know, I don't get all that upset for those people who are utilizing marijuana. Well, of course you didn't notice, but that's another story. You know, it's up to you, I suppose. But for those of us who do not indulge, have no interest in it, thank you very much, you walk out and it just smacks you. And it's, I think it's awful. I think it's absolutely awful. And it's interesting to have spent the last couple of days in D.C. I'm going to fill you in on some of the stuff that was going on up there. It was not a vacation. Wasn't, some quick trip out of the country or any of that other stuff. I mean, this was, you know, related to my actual chosen profession. And it was really, really nice, actually, to be surrounded by some world-class radio folks, broadcasters, content deliverers. I don't know. We keep changing the name of the stuff. But one guy brought me back to it. And you need to hear this before we get into the latest adventures of all that's going on in the world. Although I was very happy to read about CarMax. Is it CarMax Field or will it be CarMax Park? Or is it the diamond brought to you by CarMax? I don't know. Don't care. But the naming rights for the new Squirrel Stadium apparently are in place. It's going to be CarMax. And good for them. I'm happy about that. I was trying to think of the local Central Virginia businesses that could actually step up to the plate, so to speak. CarMax was on the list, obviously. Capital One would be on the list. The insurance company. What is the name of the insurance company with the animal? Kangaroo insurance, otter insurance, I don't know, remember? Elephant insurance, right. All right, I knew it was a mammal. I did. I just couldn't remember it for some reason. But those would be some of the big ones, right? I mean, the other one, I suppose, would have been Dominion. Dominion certainly could have stepped up and gotten the naming rights or given the naming rights or bought the naming rights. But whatever. CarMax is good. CarMax is good. I just want to see this thing completed. Because I've been here now 11 years. And the day I arrived here, they were talking about a new stadium for the Squirrels. So that's 11 years. We still don't have an indoor venue. LeVar Stoney qualifies as the worst mayor in America. He figured out how to destroy the Coliseum and actually screw up a Tom Farrell plan. You know how difficult that is to screw up something that Tom Farrell, the late, great Tom Farrell, who was the chairman of Dominion, and he was the chairman of everything, it seemed like. He was the guy who got things done in Richmond. Kind of behind the scenes. You didn't hear his name out in front of the projects, but you knew who was taking care of stuff. And he had this whole plan in place to redevelop the Coliseum, get shows there, events there, wrestling the circus. Not actually wrestling the circus, but wrestling and the circus. What else? Hockey team? I bet you. Oh, they would have put ice under the floorboards. Absolutely. So we would have had a hockey team again. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that was going to happen. And all that had to happen was LeVar Stoney did not have to screw it up. And guess what? LeVar Stoney, one of the few things that he's able to do. He screwed it up. Six ways to Sunday, he screwed it up. So we still don't, have anything. You think it was the fact that he was a... An older white gentleman right? Because that's not in vogue anymore, as you know. Take a look down Monumentless Avenue. We don't have a... Well, they didn't take down Arthur Ashe, right? All right, well, almost Monumentless Avenue. So, anyway, so let me tell you the story about being told to tell you a story. Sometimes people get confused when it comes to talk radio. And I've been doing it a long time, so I just want to share with you a little behind-the-scenes stuff. One of my mentors, who is, without question, the singularly best talk radio guy ever in the history of talk radio. I don't mean on the air, right? We would reserve that, obviously, for Rush on air. I mean behind the scenes. The guy who built talk radio stations, who developed talk radio talent, who guides talk radio talent, somebody who is legitimately just a dear friend and I would say a mentor. So he was getting this award, first time this award was ever being presented to anybody, and it was by a vote of other people in the business. So he gets the award, and he's talking very briefly. He had a whole speech written, and he decided not to share it. And I thought, well, that's interesting, because every time that I've spoken with him, and it's, I don't know how many times throughout the years, but every time we speak, invariably, it goes on forever. Just because we each have a lot to say, but what he has to say is that much more important. So I don't actually say what I have to say. I just kind of sit there and listen and learn. And then he was on a panel. There were a bunch of panels up there, and I was invited to be on one, and we had a good time. But he was on this panel, and he was talking about what we do, right? What do I do? What are you supposed to do in this position? And he used one of these old Native American parables, and it was one I had not heard in a while, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you for sharing it. And so I shared it on social media today, and I just thought I would share it with you as well. It is, again, it is a an old Native American parable. Although there's some people, as I wanted to get it right, and I was kind of Googling stuff and looking stuff up, and there's some people who have attributed it to someone else as opposed to this unnamed Native American wise man. Whatever. All right, tell me a fact, and I will learn. Right? That's a lecture, isn't it? Tell me a fact, and I will learn. That's a lecture. Tell me a truth, and I will believe. Okay, that's a sermon. But tell me a story, and it will live in my heart forever. Let that sink in for a second. That's what I do sitting here. Right, I can give you a whole slew of facts. And you might listen and go, oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, I did learn something. But that's not my mission. Tell me a truth. Well, I share some faith issues here and there, but I am not your rabbi. I am not your minister. I am not your priest, right? So that's not really what I do, but I do tell you a story. And I try and make sure that that story is filled with facts and truths, but I tell you a story. This is like being a modern-day troubadour, if you will, the town crier. And I love that. That's what I have always loved about talk radio. I've loved the fact that people have listened to stories and heard stories and been part of stories. And then, frankly, the story just builds on itself, doesn't it? You and I find ourselves popping up in other people's stories. We make a difference in people's lives. And it just starts with the story. And hopefully it's all encapsulated in the story. Yeah, it's good stuff. It's nice. It's nice, isn't it? All right, let me tell you a few facts. Now, these are facts, and you will need to know them. 3:33, that's about 20 minutes from now, my friend Brian Maloney is going to be along. He's going to offer his insight on the the apparently never-ending silence of our not-ready-for-primetime vice president. Kamala Harris still has not done a one-on-one or a press conference or anything like that. And you've got, what, 60 days left until Election Day? But please don't forget this. Next week, the week after, we've got the whole election season opening up, right? We vote for months now. Why? Well, because it's a heck of a lot easier to cheat, you know, a couple of ballots here, a couple of ballots there, a couple of votes, a couple of people, if you spread it out. If you've got 10,000 fictional people showing up on one day, well, that's problematic. So Brian will be along to talk about that. We've got a lot that we are going to listen to. And in just a couple of moments, I've got to share some details about the FBI, because the FBI is getting beaten up right about now with this whole situation in Georgia. And I just feel compelled to share once again some of the truth. May or may not be in story form, but it will be the truth and it will be filled with facts. I have got a whole slew of tickets. Now, how cool is this? We were off for Labor Day. And everybody was free of labor on Labor Day, right? And then I spend time, couple of days up in D.C., this big talk radio conference. So we have some extra tickets. Now, let me tell you about these tickets. These tickets are for the Apple and Cider Bluegrass Festival, which is right up the road for me at Hanover Vegetable Farm, which is a great place. Gosh, if you've not been there, whether you're just popping in to buy flowers or produce or what have you, it really is just a great place. And then if you go there for an event, forget about it. Absolutely off the charts. So the Apple and Cider Bluegrass Festival is September the 21st and the 22nd, and we're going to give you a family four-pack of tickets, plus you'll be able to pick your own 3-pound bag of apples, all right? Apple picking, by the way, if this was simply a pair of tickets, then it's perfect for dates, right? Pair of tickets, apple picking. You know why? Because we who are guys do not actually like picking apples. Ladies apparently love picking apples, and we who are guys who like ladies go along with the apple picking as a date because we're guys. But if it's a family four-pack, you already have a family. Look, you already did the apple picking early on, so you get 3 pounds and you'll give them to the kids. I'm going to give you a chance to win those. Here's what we're going to do, because we do have more than we would ever expect to give away on one day, which is cool. We're going to give you the chance. I'm going to say right at 3:33, all right? That way Jeremy can get himself in position. We'll have Brian Maloney on with us. So right at 3:33-ish, you got to give me the ish. We'll give you a chance to win a family four-pack of tickets for the Apple and Cider Blue Grass Festival. Winsome Sears is running for governor. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. And the FBI in Georgia. What's the real story? That's all coming up just a couple of minutes from now. 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Coming up at 3:33-ish, your first chance today to win a family four-pack of tickets for Apple and Cider Bluegrass Festival at Hanover Vegetable Farm. Again, 3:33-ish. And we'll give you another chance. Let's call it 5:33-ish, okay? Yeah, we've got two packs today, which is really, really great. We've got Brian Maloney, who is coming up at also 3:33-ish. Get a little insight. I'm curious to know what he thinks about how this whole presidential thing is shaken out. Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears makes it official. She announces she is running for governor. Excellent. I'm very happy to hear that. I love Winsome Sears, as you know. I was actually the very first person to come out and say I would be voting for Lieutenant Governor Winsome. Well, she wasn't Lieutenant Governor. Winsome Sears. She was on my show first and most often. Why? I just think the world of her. I think she's going to be a great governor. And I just want to make sure she's got the money, she's got the wherewithal, everybody's on track for this. It does call into question, though, kind of what's going on behind the scenes. What about our Attorney General, Jason Meares? I had heard buzz that he wanted to run for governor as well. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think Jason Meares is the finest attorney general our beloved Commonwealth has ever had. And I personally, I would love to see him as AG for another 4 years. I think there's a lot of work to be done there. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm not running for office. I'm not telling people to run for office. Although it does remind me that my friend John Reed, who you should be listening to each and every morning starting at 6 a.m., he is or he isn't running for lieutenant governor. John, it's time to pony up, man. All right, that's my advice. As I've said, I don't know if he's running. But if he does run, number one, I will be voting for him. I will be telling you that I will be voting for him. And I will actually make a monetary contribution to his campaign if he makes it official and starts running. I think he should. I really do. I think it would be a great thing. I think he's a good, solid guy and could do some great work as the lieutenant governor. A lot of times that spot gets overlooked. And for the last 4 years, obviously, with Winsome Sears, boy, she has just made it clear to everybody there are things to be done as lieutenant governor. And she's done them.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Done a great, great job. So I'd like to see somebody come in there who will also do a great job. The FBI. Okay. So a little bit earlier today, Heidi and I are chatting, blah, 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 blah. What's for dinner? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, any plans? What are you doing for dinner? That was my part. I'm not sure what her part was. And then she said, it turns out this kid in Georgia who shot and killed these people, the FBI knew about him and didn't do anything. Her words, not mine. And I said, okay, I guess we're not talking about dinner, huh? Yeah, why didn't the FBI do something? You know, it was on the FBI's radar. Okay, take a deep breath. And I said, I don't want to simply discard what you're saying. But I do have to say this. And this is one of those difficult things, right? I mean, if it's just you and me or it's me and Jeremy chatting, I'll just tell them. What do I care? No offense, Jeremy. But, you know, for Heidi, we got to live together. We got kids and the house and the whole bit. So I said, well, here's the thing to remember. And I knew, I mean, I could see, like, she's getting tense. Like, oh, now I'm going to explain something to her. But it is the truth. The FBI gets thousands and thousands and thousands of calls about all sorts of stuff every single day. And I can tell you, because I'm just honored and blessed to be friends with men and women who worked in the Bureau, still work in the Bureau, are brick agents. Let me tell you something. Those guys and gals are going out there every single solitary day and doing the job. They're doing exactly what they are supposed to do. They do not have the jurisdiction, if you will, to handle everything. So what I'm hearing now, even though everybody wants to beat up on the FBI about the Georgia situation, is that the FBI was out to the house, saw what was or was not going on, and said, well, it's not a federal matter. It doesn't relate to the FBI in any way. However, we're going to let local law enforcement know about it. We'll find out the details, I'm sure, as they unfold. 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRV. 3:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRV. It is Friday Eve. The weather is absolutely fantastic. I'm telling you right now, if you have your air conditioning on and the windows closed, you are making a serious, serious mistake. Open them up. It's, I don't know, 75 and low humidity. I got all the windows open here. Same in the house. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. All right. Brian Maloney joins us every Friday Eve at 3:33, but we're going to postpone him for just like, I don't know, 10 seconds. Because even though I tell you repeatedly about our Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, that is how you contact me on a regular basis. You send me a text on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. But there are those moments where we're able to turn it into an actual phone, and I would like to use it in that way right now. We're going to take caller number 11. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Caller number 11, you're going to get yourself that family four-pack of tickets for the Apple and Cider Bluegrass Festival coming up September the 21st and September the 22nd. Hanover Vegetable Farm is like right down the road for me. Don't come by. I mean, but I'm just telling you, it's in the neighborhood. And in addition to the four tickets, you'll be able to pick yourself 3 pounds of apples. Okay? Call number 11, 833-804-1140. Brian Maloney, one of the smartest guys that I know, a tremendous analyst when it comes to the world of politics and organization and campaigns and the rest of it. And by the way, one hell of a talk radio guy as well through the years. He joins us, and I'm always happy to have him here. Brian, thanks for being here, man.
You bet. Caller number 11 is going to have a great day.
They are, right? I mean, it's a great festival. Now the one thing I did share, Brian, and look, it's just us guys here. If it were two tickets, it would be a perfect date, right? Because you and I, as dudes, actually have no interest in picking apples, but ladies always do. It's always why it's a date, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's a family four-pack, so the dating part is already over, so just go have fun and grab your apples. That's all. That's the way they're going to do it.
Yeah. Where I live, those apple-picking places, you know, I don't know about, you know, in your area, but, yeah. I mean, it is expensive. Oh.
Yeah. Well, those are really good apples.
They better be.
There's a golden ticket in one of them dear apples.
That would be great. if only.
If only. All right, my friend. You gotta go to work for us. You've been watching the campaign. We've got, in theory, September the 10th is the first actual debate between our vice president and our former president. She still hasn't done a one-on-one sit down with anybody, no press conferences. Let me ask you this to start, and then you take it. If you are as ill prepared and as convoluted in your socialist agenda as she is she actually making a mistake by just keeping her mouth shut when it comes to real reporters?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I guarantee it, and you know this too, that every one of her advisors, and we know who her advisors are because this is just a 2008, you know, Hopi Changey Obama, rerun. I mean, they're using the same people, the same techniques, the same words, the same everything. Now it's joy, though. Hope has turned to joy. And so everything's joy, joy, joy. And isn't she happy? And so, you know, on the one hand, you could say, okay, well, she's not going to say anything stupid if she never says anything at all. And as you may have noticed, the minute she opens her mouth, that goes out the window because she says something stupid. Exactly. But on the other hand, how can you go all the way to election day without saying what you want to do, because she's flipped and flopped a few times that she has stated a position. So you got that. She's copying Trump's ideas, which is weird, which just shows the validity of his ideas.
Yes.
So you've got that. But at some point, you got to make a case for yourself, unless, and this is what everybody I know, Jeff, and maybe who you know, would say, and that is, well, that's because the fix is in. But I don't want to get caught up in that, because to me, I think the problem with going there and staying there is that, you know, you might end up staying home on election day, and that's the worst thing you could do.
Exactly. Oh, my God, you are absolutely spot on. I would say the fix is in, but I'm not necessarily talking about the voting. I'm talking about the coverage from the media. So once people understand, there's nothing honest in this reporting. There is nothing serious about the so-called journalism. It is all PR flackery. So once you can get around that, and once you can stop ignoring the push poll numbers that come out, then you realize, oh, hell yeah, I got to go vote.
Well, yeah, and remember, the polling is oversampling Democrats by several percentage points. That's how they're getting those rosy numbers for her.
Sure.
And I don't know, did you see, Jeff, in the news today? I just put something up on one of my pages about it a little while ago, and that is that Putin has endorsed Kamala, and the news media immediately said that he was just joking. How do you know? Are you in Moscow? Do you know that for sure? You know, so that was the immediate. But look, let's face it. Of course he wants her to win because every tin pot dictator around the world wants her to win because no one fears her. And we need a president that some of these clowns fear around the world. We really do.
Yeah. Well, I want to, number one, remind everybody, Brian Maloney is joining us. And Brian, you mentioned one of your pages. Let everybody know where they ought to be following you. We always do it at the end, but let's do it right now because I want folks to go over and take a look at that story.
Yeah. So Facebook.com/Media Equalizer, one word, Facebook.com/Media Equalizer. We also have another page, Facebook.com/Red Wave America. Red Wave America. It's all one word.
Yeah.
So those are the two places. So we're busy.
You are busy, and they're both great sources. Although, as I told you a couple of weeks back, both Bill Smith and I agreed we always love Media Equalizer because that's what you're doing, and this is an educational process for a lot of people, isn't it? When Donald Trump years ago talks about fake news, some people were puzzled.
Well, this is one thing that I think, so Trump needs to tweak some things about his campaign, and we've talked about this, on your show before.
Yeah.
You know, you and I both agreed some things need tweaking, and one of them is, so he returned to Twitter or whatever, great, but the problem is Twitter is a niche site for political junkies, for media junkies. The average voter is not there. That is not how you get your positions out there. It's just not. It will never be broad enough in its audience. Never has been. Never will be. It is a. So this is the problem. I think a lot of his positions this time aren't even getting out there. And I don't even think people know. And that's why she's able to steal his ideas, because they haven't heard his in the first place. So that's why people don't even realize that she's just taking his stuff and running with it, because she gets the coverage and he doesn't.
What do you think about her coming out with a blue baseball cap that says "Make America Joyful Again"?
It's even more copying going on. We've been documenting all the examples. I mean, why wouldn't you take the opportunity to kind of get your own gig? Or, what is the word, shtick? Your own thing going. Like in radio, you got to have your own handle, your
absolutely.
Own, your own logo, like you with your coffee mugs and.
Wait a minute, Maloney. Do I owe you a coffee mug? Was that like one of those passive aggressive subtle things?
Like,
you deadbeat, I owe you a coffee mug.
Oh my gosh! So that's the bottom line. I mean, it's I never expected her to be copying Trump so often. I never expected her to do that even once. I actually think, I want to hear what you think about this, Jeff. I think she's in over her head, completely in over her head, and I think she knows it. I think she absolutely knows that this is too much for her to handle, and she just tries. She hides. It worked for Joe. Hiding in the basement worked, so hey, I'll try it too.
Well, Brian, let me offer this. I think she's been in over her head pretty close to her entire career. I don't know that she knew a lot about a lot in any of those positions.
No.
And how many weeks ago was it that we were hearing she's the worst vice president in history, the least popular vice president in history? And
yeah,
those
they were
Democrats
ditch her.
Talking. That not
they
being you, that was
they were trying to ditch her from Joe's ticket.
Yeah,
and now she's the second coming of Obama. So that's the bottom line. Did you see the Southern accent thing she was doing the other day? And then she said she was washing collard greens in her bathtub. I mean,
of
what
course she was.
And the thing is, she's never lived in the South. She grew up primarily in Montreal. She's from the Bay Area. She's from Berkeley. She went to high school in Montreal, Quebec, okay?
Yeah.
So, where's the, you know, she hasn't lived in the South. So faking that Southern accent, Hillary got away with it because she had lived in Arkansas with Bill governor. So she could fake it and get away with it a little more. Maybe she picked up a little accent. But Kamala has nothing there, nothing.
Oh, Brian, listen, you know, when Hillary Clinton whipped out the bottle of hot sauce from her purse, for God's sakes, I thought my hair would explode. And for Kamala Harris, she would be, you're right, she's never cooked collard greens in her bathtub. She's never cleaned collard greens in her bathtub. If she would have come out and said, all for all say, here's my recipe for poutine, that would have worked.
Poutine, that's what I was thinking of, and buying your milk in a bag.
In a bag!
She's more Canadian than anything. I mean, this is a theater of the absurd. And I mean, we're expected to just sit here and I mean, they just think we're idiots, basically. You know, they're just throwing every insane thing they can. And you know, Jeff, it's only going to get worse between now and Election Day. I keep saying that, and then it does get worse.
All right, so here's my question for you, and I want to remind everybody, Brian Maloney is joining us, and Brian is the media equalizer and has been for decades now. Also, Red Wave America, those are two great pages on Facebook. You need to be following him there. But I do think that they believe we are stupid. I think that she understands she is in over her head and has said to her people, look, just, you know, Obama this thing. Let's come up with a catchy phrase and give us a big dollop of Biden where I don't have to talk to anybody.
Well, and don't forget that Obama, you know, whether we hated or loved him or whatever, and I certainly wasn't in the love category, he has a way of public speaking that, you know, works, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he gets up there and he can project his voice and it resonates with people. Maybe not you and me, but that's what got him elected. Yeah. And some other things too. But with her, you don't have that. You have weird, awkward word salads and nervousness. One 18-minute interview with CNN, actually it was 30 minutes, and they chopped up. We only got to see half of it. You know, we don't even know what happened. And she needed Tim Walz there as her, you know, as her, I called it emotional support gerbil. That's what I called it. You know, like your little pet that you have on the plane with you in your little purse.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. It was. It's an embarrassment. But again, if she can limp along for 60 days, not say anything too terribly stupid, I guess their hope is there are enough people who will buy into the crap that they will vote for her. I had just the other day, I should share this with you, Brian. I had an opportunity to chat with some people who are really, really into polling and analysis, and it's not a partisan thing and all this other stuff. But they said that the real numbers are certainly not the rosy numbers that her side is giving out.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, this guy said, listen, if I had to make a prediction, I would say that the Republicans hold the House and take the Senate, which could be the two most important things in this whole thing.
Well, then that's it. That's exactly it. That's why I'm saying we have to win the Ohio Senate race. I keep pointing that out because I think that's the one. We're going to win the Montana Senate race. We've got that one. And I've been poring over this data every single day ad nauseum and, you know, just giving myself headaches from this. But, you know, I have to see all of these numbers. And the oversampling tricks are there to discourage us and encourage them and get the donations in the way they want them. And it's an old trick. We've been through this many, many times. I just wish Rush was around to see all of this. He would be screaming. Can you imagine?
It would be a thing of beauty, and I think it's left for the rest of us, right? We will fail miserably in comparison, but it is left to the rest of us to try and some of the heavy lifting. Well, Brian, do me a favor. Remind everybody again where they can follow you, read your stuff, get in touch with you, because you're doing great work.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Jeff. Yeah, so it's facebook.com/mediaequalizer, one word, media equalizer. Or our second page is facebook.com/redwaveamerica, one word, Red Wave America.
All right. I love it. Listen, man, you are the best of the best. I urge you to stay strong. We're going to get some more people over there.
You
and
too.
You just let me know what color mug you want. I'll get one off.
Sure, you bet. You bet.
All right. All right. Thank you, my friend. That is Brian Maloney. Brian really is the media equalizer. He saw this a long time ago. I know a lot of people kind of came around when President Trump a few years ago started talking about fake news. And there were some of us, like Brian, like myself, who had been around a while and thought, oh, yeah, I could tell you some stories about newsrooms through the years. Absolutely. So it wasn't a big shock to me when President Trump talked about fake news. And it certainly wasn't a shock to Brian, because Brian had been positioning himself as the media equalizer forever and ever. And it's still there. You're seeing stories or hearing stories or watching stories painting a very, very favorable light for the vice president. All is well. It's all joy, joy, joy. Isn't that Ren and Stimpy, by the way? How do you steal a campaign slogan from a cartoon character? Unless you're Joe Biden, you do the whole, that's all, folks. I don't know. That'd be good. But we see that stuff and we hear it. We watch, right? Do yourself a favor. If you really do care about this election, and I think there are a few of us that legitimately care about this election, ignore all that. Seriously, just ignore it. Just ignore it. We're going to be just fine. Don't worry about it. I've got a story I have to share with you, and we're going to do it right after the 4 o'clock news. As you know, I was up in D.C. for a couple of days. If I can help it, I don't drive in D.C. We've got Uber. We've got Lyft. I had an Uber driver who was he was an immigrant from Ethiopia. And we had an absolutely delightful conversation. And you're going to be part of it right after the 4 o'clock news. You're going to be perhaps very, very happy when you hear what he had to say. It is 3:51, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, an absolutely beautiful Friday Eve. I'm telling you right now, if you can, open your doors, open your windows, about 75 degrees, low humidity. Ah, it's about as close to perfect as you're going to get. It's good, good, good outdoor weather. And if you had to be stuck inside, at least you can get a little bit of the outdoors inside. Up in D.C. for a couple of days, and I was there for this talk radio conference, which was, it was nice. Let me tell you something. I had the opportunity to reconnect with some folks I hadn't chatted with in a while, had a chance to talk with people in person that hadn't had that opportunity for a while. So it was really nice. I had a very, very good time. There was another day, actually, today, and it's like, nah, I got a job. I got to get back to the job. But it was a good time. Now, one of the most interesting experiences for me was chatting with one of my Uber drivers. All right, I don't have limos, I don't have cars, I don't have people doing things for me like that. And that's fine. Uber, right? This one gentleman, his name was Otis. Now, I had never met him before, and, you know, the way Uber works, probably never will meet him again. But I look at the name, Otis. Oh, okay, that's interesting. Now, the only time I've ever heard Otis has been in connection with Ababa, right? Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia. And I thought, okay, well, I don't, whatever, it's going to be interesting, I guess, right? I like talking with Uber or Lyft or whoever it is that I just happen to run into that I've never met before, right? You learn a lot of stuff. So he comes and he's very polite and very friendly, and we're chatting, and I said, Otis. He said, yep. He says, I'm from Ethiopia. I said, oh, no kidding. I said, tell me a little, how long have you been here, and, you know, where are you, and what are you, and what's happening, and what is this? So we're having this great conversation. I said, you know, I don't know all that much about Ethiopia, except this. I can remember back when I was a little kid, right, the leader of Ethiopia was Haile Selassie. I remember that. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, he was a very good leader for our nation, and he did this and he did that. I said, and the only other thing I really know about Ethiopia is the Falasha. And he got this big smile. Now, the Falasha are a group of Jewish Ethiopians. And many of the Falasha escaped from Ethiopia. They were airlifted from Ethiopia to Israel by the IDF and El Al, and at the direction of Bibi Netanyahu and the other leaders in Israel. And he got this gigantic smile, and I said, that's what I know, the Falasha. Oh. And he started saying, well, my mother is from the Falasha. And we just, it just went off in such a direction. I thought, well, this is fantastic. And he's telling me about the problems in Africa and the things going on with Sudan and why that is a risk to Ethiopia. And he's telling me about other things. He says, but, you know, if I can I just say this? And I thought, uh-oh, what's he just going to say? He said, our country is broken. Now, for a second, I thought he was still talking about Ethiopia. And he said, just look around. I said, oh. Congress is not in session right now. They don't get back till next week, so the traffic isn't too terrible. The weed smoke coming out of Union Station is absolutely appalling and disgusting. But he says, yeah, our country is broken. He says, I hope people...
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Understand that you have to vote for Trump. Good for you. And I thought to myself, I was, okay, honest, couple of things. Number one, your five-star rating on Uber will remain in place because I'm giving you five stars and I'm gonna write a tip in there and the whole bit. But it was really interesting to hear the perspective from somebody who didn't grow up in the United States, still has family in Ethiopia, understands what war is like up close and personal, having nations around you waging war and sometimes getting into your country. It was absolutely fascinating. And it just gave me a little bit of hope, a little more hope, I suppose, than I had. And it was nice to see. And the reason I mention that is because you have Joe Biden, this decrepit old fool, slamming Bibi Netanyahu. Now, remember what just happened in the last couple of days. Six innocent human beings were slaughtered by the savages of Hamas. Hamas is not comprised of decent, upstanding people. Hamas is comprised of barbarians and savages who are determined to slaughter anyone who might disagree with them. Now, their main focus happens to be Jews and Israelis as well as Americans, but make no mistake, Arabs and Muslims who get in the way of their reign of terror will also fall to their sword. That's their philosophy. One of the hostages, a young woman, had lost about 25 pounds while she was being held captive. She was being starved to death. She weighed 70-something pounds when they found her corpse. Because remember, they also, after torturing these poor innocent people, after starving them for almost a year, then they decided, because they knew that the IDF, the Israel Defense Force, was closing in on the location to rescue them, then they killed them. They're awful, awful examples to anyone, except apparently Joe Biden, except apparently Kamala Harris and Tiny Tim Kaine, because all of these people are giving a pass to Hamas. Biden blames Netanyahu. Netanyahu is fighting for the survival of his nation. Benjamin Netanyahu is fighting for the survival of the Jewish people. Don't you dare make any mistake about that. It is disgusting to see what Joe Biden is doing. I'm just telling you right now, anyone who is a Jewish American who is siding with Biden, siding with Harris, siding with Tim Kaine, You're appalling. You're just appalling. I don't know any other way to say it. It's awful. There's a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times. Talk about a disgusting human being. Neil Steinberg, columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, said, if I had a choice between getting rid of Hamas and getting rid of Netanyahu, I'd choose Netanyahu. Talk about delusional. Talk about dangerous. Oh, I guarantee he's going to be... He'll get some sort of an award from some left-wing organization. Of course they will. Well, you know, because he's going along with the party line. And he's putting the party line above his own people. How does anybody look themselves in the mirror after doing something like that? Say, oh, yeah, I did the right thing. You can go back to World War II. There were folks who were called capos, K-A-P-O. The capo was the Jewish person who went along with the Nazis. Because it kept them around a little bit longer. Jews who went along with the Nazis, loading their own people into cattle cars. Capos. The worst example of a human being ever. Ever! And I got news for you. We've got some modern-day capos right now who have placed their own political ideology above the survival of their own people. I said this to Harry and Joe, you know, the college guys. Well, Harry's out of college now, but I said, you know, your politics and mine are never going to jibe, at least until you're my age, and then I'll be long dead, but you'll realize I was right. But in the foreseeable future, they're never going to come together. So all I can tell you is this. Go and, you know, your beliefs are wacky, but they're yours. All right, you're a left-winger. You're a young guy. But please make no mistake. As you're looking at these pro-Hamas idiots, the thoroughly useful idiots, understand they're not your friends. They're not on your side. They'll never be on your side. Ever. Because you're a Jew. Period. End of story. All right, we got a lot that we are covering this afternoon. I am telling you that tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my friend John Reed is going to be here. I want to make sure that you are here for all of that. And I found a brand new, beautiful little place in Ashland. I'm going to share some details with you about that. And Hunter Biden decides, well, I'm guilty, but, you know, not that kind of guilty. Those details straight ahead as well. 414, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 421, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Well, we're getting closer and closer and closer. And speaking of close, right by the train station in Ashland, there is a brand new coffee shop. It's called Classic Coffee and Tea. And when Heidi was dropping me off at the train station the other day, you know the way this works, right? I was never late for anything in my life. Until Heidi and I got married, because her family has like their own set of, you know, standard times that they observe. Anyway, I like being early. You got travel to do. I'm always at the airport way early. Trains get delayed. That's true. But I don't want to miss them. So my train, what was it? 3:23. What time do we need to leave? She says. I said 2:00. Said, you know, we live literally like 8 minutes away from the train station. I know. I don't want to miss the train. Okay. So we get down there, and, I'm very early. And she said, I read on Facebook about a brand new coffee shop that opened. I said, really? In Ashland? Yeah. And I said, well, all right, we got some time. So we went over, and we met the folks at Classic Coffee and Tea. And what fine people they are. I mean, honest to goodness, I don't know any other way to say it except that the coffee was delicious. Heidi is a big fan, as you know, of anything and everything. Pumpkin, I believe that pumpkin needs to stay in its lane. I don't want pumpkin in July. Sorry, that's wrong. It's just wrong. And even early September is pushing it. But I got to tell you, yeah, the pumpkin spice latte we got at Classic Coffee and Tea in Ashland was really the best ever. Oh, my gosh, it was great. So I just wanted to welcome Wayne and April. That's the couple that has this beautiful little shop there. So pop on in and enjoy some coffee. I told you that I would talk a little bit about Hunter Biden. Well, did I advise you or did I threaten you? Either way, I got to keep the promise, right? Hunter Biden shows up in federal court because, you know, he's a convicted felon. He's a terrible, terrible person. Chip off the old block. goes in, and now he's offering to sort of plead guilty. Now, this is not a real guilty. This is an Alford plea. An Alford plea is when a defendant says, okay, you got me. The prosecution, whether it's the Commonwealth or the state or whatever we call it, wherever we are, yeah, you've got enough to convict me, so I'm going to plead guilty, but I'm not actually going to say that I am guilty. Now, the prosecution was never alerted to this. The U.S. Attorney's office out there in California was never alerted to this. And they're saying, hey, we're here for jury selection. It's going to be in the hands of the federal judge now. And I don't know if he or she will or will not. I'll keep you apprised on all that. We got some amazing sound, including our Not Ready for Primetime Vice President, who apparently now is doing impressions. Wow. It's great. 426, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Friday Eve is what it is, my friends, and the weather is cooperating. It is very, very, very nice. It's simple as that. I want you to enjoy it if you can. The downside, I suppose, is this. We are looking at a full week with out rain. Yeah. So that's the deal. And I don't know what else to tell you, but maybe you've got a good irrigation system, or you've got a good irrigation system person, and you should send that to me, Jeff at thejeffcatshow.com, because I think we need one of those. I want to share a couple of little pieces of sound. And some of this stuff is just outrageous. That is the only thing that I can say. I think it's the best way to describe it, but you've got to hear it. You've just absolutely got to hear it. The vice president of our country, who is, you know, our country's vice president, sits as not the president, but the vice president. I can't even talk like her. God, it is a giant bowl of word salad. And I personally am going to need way more dressing and a lot more croutons if we're actually going to have 4 years of this nonsense. But now our Not Ready for Primetime vice president is apparently also doing, I don't know if they're impressions or dialects. How about total fraudulent nonsense? Cut number four.
Union member for sick leave, you better thank a union member for paid leave, you better thank a union member for vacation time. Thank unions for paid family leave. Thank unions for your vacation time.
It's the same exact speech. It was Labor Day. Same exact speech. Word for word. Oh, sort of. In Detroit, I'm going to play it for you again. You can hear she changes ER to AH, and then when she gets to Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania, she apparently replaces AH with ER. One more time, Germ, cut number four.
Union member for sick leave, you better thank a union member for paid leave. You better thank a union member for vacation time. Thank unions for paid family leave. Thank unions for your vacation time.
It is laughable, except you can't laugh at it. She wants to be president of the United States. She wants to be the leader of the United States of America, your nation, my nation. She's engaging in such ugly, ridiculous pandering, and there it is. And she does not get called out on it by the legacy news media. That's the part that just frosts my tuchus. I'm telling you right now, it does. There are very, very few people left in the ranks of the legacy news media who actually do the job they're supposed to do. There are some. But on that national stage, boy, you would be hard-pressed to find any. Let me give you another example. CBS. Now, you do remember that that very woman right there, the vice president of the United States, our not ready for primetime vice president, Kamala Harris, said that people who own and operate stores like Kroger or Food Lion or Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market, somehow they are price gauging. That's what she said first. I thought, well, okay, she's accidentally, inadvertently wandered uncontrollably into the truth. She told the truth. They are gauging prices. We all gauge prices, right? I mean, if you have some sort of a business, don't you gauge your prices? If you, I'll give you an example. Who do I use for local businesses as examples? I do it all the time. Okay, so I'm going to turn to my brother from another mother, Stan Andruski, Certified Auto Repair, 8401 Oakview Avenue in the Lakeside section of Henrico. Of course he gauges his prices. He looks at the cost of materials, parts. He looks at the cost of labor. He looks at those things like rent and mortgage and blah, 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 blah. And then he gauges his prices appropriately. Come north just a little bit. Ashland. 511 Thompson Street in Ashland, about a mile or so down from the Secretariat statue at the train station, Jake's Place. What do Wendy and John Yeoman do besides win big-time barbecue competitions? They gauge their prices. They say, all right, we have this award-winning brisket that goes into the award-winning Jeff Katz sandwich. How much are we paying to Reseda Farms for the beef? How much are we paying for rent or mortgage? How much do we pay for utilities? How much for licensing? How much for staffing? Blah, blah, blah. And then they gauge their prices appropriately. Sadly, our vice president then corrected herself. She was not talking about price gauging, which is totally appropriate. She was talking about price gouging, which frankly doesn't, well, it's not happening. It's certainly not happening in the supermarket sector, the grocery sector. But take a listen to CBS, and you tell me what is in this report and what's not in this report. Cut number one.
There are new questions about what would be the largest grocery store merger in U.S. history. The CEOs of two major chains testified today at a trial defending Kroger's nearly $25 billion purchase of Albertsons. Federal regulators are trying to block the deal, saying it could hurt shoppers. Here's CBS's Jolene Kent.
The prices you pay at the grocery store are now under scrutiny in federal court.
Nothing has gone down. It's all going up.
Things that you used to buy, like eggs, it's just gotten really expensive.
Today, the CEOs of grocery chains Kroger and Albertsons defended a proposed $25 billion merger under oath, saying the combined chains would be better positioned to compete with Walmart and Amazon. Kroger CEO Rodney McMullen promising in court, the day that we merge is the day that we will begin lowering prices, vowing that the combined company would invest $1 billion to lower prices if the merger goes through. The Federal Trade Commission has sued to halt this merger, alleging it would raise prices by reducing competition in some areas of the country.
Is that an accurate argument?
I'm not convinced of that argument. So if they're somehow able to combine their stores, some of those cost savings through lower wholesale prices could be passed on to consumers.
The two chains combined operate about 5,000 stores. Currently, Walmart dominates the grocery market by dollars spent, as shoppers have faced stubborn inflation since the pandemic. Since 2019, according to the CBS Money Watch price tracker, a dozen eggs more than doubled. Bread jumped 54% and chicken 33%. But wages have also risen 23%, keeping pace with overall prices.
But that's not how a lot of consumers think. They just see that grocery bill at the end and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so expensive. And they're right.
Now, earlier in this hearing, a Kroger senior director admitted that the grocery giant had raised prices for eggs and milk beyond inflation levels for a period of time. But since then, the CEO of Kroger has insisted prices would come down if these two chains are able to merge.
Okay, so a couple of things that we do have to take out of that. I mean, take from it, all right? Now, you have the argument on the one hand that Kroger is offering. Well, if we swallow up Albertsons, we are going to lower prices because we will have a better position in terms of purchasing. Good argument. However, I would dare say it doesn't really pass the smell test because Kroger is already the largest grocery chain in America, and they already own damn near everything. So adding those Albertsons stores to their portfolio, I would dare say, probably does not bring down much in the way of the cost for goods. That's number one. Number two, with the exception of that last little allusion to price raising, price increase, and you'll notice what the reporter said. I'll give her credit for this. She said that the prices were raised more than inflation. Okay. Is that a crime yet? I mean, it will be a crime if Kamala Harris gets into office, but at the moment, it is not a crime. Those are your goods. You have yourself purchased them, and then you turn around and decide how much you're going to sell them for because you would like to make a profit. I'd like to remind everybody that Kroger and Albertsons and everybody else who's in business is actually in business to make money, to make a profit. And many of us who hope to retire one day are invested in various companies. And the fact that we have invested in them means that we are saying to them, we would like you to give us a profit on our investment. So there comes a day where we say, yeah, I'm not doing it anymore. Right? I mean, that's how that sort of unpacks. That's what I've done. I've unpacked the grocery bag. Let me say this about Albertsons, because Albertsons for a long time had a pretty sizable presence in Florida. And there was an Albertsons down the street from my folks' house in Del Boca Vista. They lived right down the street from the Seinfelds. And there were Albertsons down there. But the Albertsons really started going downhill. And in Florida, it is actually a law. There is a Publix supermarket like every 92 feet. You can never be more than 11 seconds from a Publix, which is an employee-owned company. I don't know if you know that. So Publix sort of squeezed them out of the space. And part of it was that Publix, in all candor, offered better products than Albertsons did in Florida. They offered a higher caliber of employee because the employees actually owned the store. It was very different. But Albertsons has been on the decline for quite a while. Quite a while. Is it going to hurt anybody if Kroger buys Albertsons? Probably not. But you and I both know if you've got two stores operating in that area, Kroger is going to put the Albertsons store that's in place. They'll shutter that. Maybe you get another retail establishment in there. Maybe you get another grocery store. If you don't have the other grocery store, then you don't have the competition, which in theory should keep prices low. I don't know what the answer is to this. I personally am not a big fan of these gigantic corporate mergers. I've never liked them, ever, ever, ever. I don't think I've really ever seen anything all that good come out of that. I love what we have in Central Virginia in terms of groceries. And you know where I go, right? I mean, I go to Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market, period, end of story. But every once in a while, you got to go and you got to buy some other stuff, and we go to Food Lion. Just the way it is. I mean, if we're getting meat or produce or seafood, we're at Tom's, period. I don't even want to talk about it because he's got the best meat and the best seafood. Now, Hanover tomatoes. I love Hanover tomatoes. Heidi loves it. The whole family loves them. So we go through them, man, like they're like just running away. You know, you won't be able to ever get another Hanover tomato. So we bought, I don't know, 6 or 8 of them when we were down there last time. But we will also run to Food Lion, or we'll run to Hanover Vegetable Farm and get the Hanover tomatoes, because they're not around all year. We love them, though. Maybe you're a Publix person. That's okay. Maybe you're a Food Lion or a Kroger. Nothing wrong with Kroger. But because we have so many shopping options, oh, Wegmans. I almost forgot Wegmans. The prices are kept reasonable. Now, there's nobody that's getting fabulously wealthy in the grocery sector in Central Virginia because there is so much competition. But if you had exactly one grocery store for 10 square miles, I got news for you. Prices are going to be more expensive. It is 4:45. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 451, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. I won't use the other word. I won't do it. Friday Eve sounds so exciting and welcoming and positive. And I got news for you. The weather is pretty good. Today's been beautiful. Window open sort of a day, and the sleeping tonight's going to be great. Overnight low around 58. Perfect. Well, while we're on the CBS bandwagon here, you want to hear another little thing they did? Because this one just blows me away. I don't know who it is inside of CBS Television News that just seems to hate people of faith, but I got a sneaking suspicion they're in a leadership role somewhere, because take a listen to cut number three.
We are continuing our look at Donald Trump's relationship with evangelical Christians. In tonight's Eye on America, CBS's Major Garrett has an interview with a man who doesn't talk to reporters often, a self-described Christian nationalist. He sees Trump's movement as more than defeating Democrats.
You can't make America great again until you restore an awakening with God again.
Under a massive circus tent in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Lance Wall now is the ringleader, preaching Christian nationalism and political activism to a rapturous following.
All right. There's... Yeah. Did you catch it? Circus tent? Ringleader? I thought he was a minister. I thought it was a tent. I would dare say that that's somebody who's probably never heard of a revival, right? Did you hear anything? I mean, I know it's a short clip, but did you hear anything there that was anything other than derisive related to that particular gentleman? I don't know all that much about him. I just know I heard that, I listened to that, I looked at the wording just to make sure I didn't screw it up, and I'm thinking, wow, you can't be much plainer. And that was the second one. That was like a follow-up story to their first hit piece on him. I'll go back. We'll find it. Jeremy and I will take a look for it. We'll see if we can find it. There's some breaking news right now. I do have to pass this along to you. The trial related to President Trump's matter in D.C. That's that Jack Smith, that guy who, according to the judge in Florida, was not actually ever appointed properly and is not really serving in a real position. But the federal judge up in D.C., Tanya Chutkan, says she will not hold the trial for former President Trump on charges stemming from Jack Smith's January 6th investigation until after the 2024 presidential election. All right. I will try and get to the bottom of that. Just a heads up, Jeremy. Let's reach out to Joe Moreno. All right. And get the smartest lawyer on God's green earth to join us. We got some room tomorrow, I know. Joe Moreno is himself, as you know, a former federal prosecutor. So let's get him on tomorrow so that we can analyze that and see what's really going on there. I don't know about the New York City matter. Is that Judge Mershon really going to go forward and sentence him? We'll see. It is all it's all out there. It's all grist for the mill. And the idea that it's all happening right as we lead into a presidential election, I think, is absolutely appalling and embarrassing and wrong. But the one piece of good news that's coming out here is that Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears has made it official. She is running for governor. Excellent. She's a marvelous person, a brilliant lady, a courageous human being. And we have to see who's going to be our lieutenant governor. Well, tune in tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. because my dear friend John Reed will be on the air at 6 a.m. And I don't know, maybe tomorrow's the day. If Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears made it official that she is running for governor, perhaps in the next 24 hours or 48 hours, John Reed will make it official that he's running for lieutenant governor. I don't know the answer. I told you that. But all the more reason to tune in tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. I don't think you want to miss that. Our friend Dr. Keith Ablo is coming up at 5:33-ish, and I'm going to give you another chance to win a family four-pack of tickets for Apple and Cider Bluegrass Festival. It is up here at Hanover Vegetable Farm, September the 21st and September the 22nd. I'm going to give you a chance to win those. Let's do that at 5:33.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
4:57, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Friday Eve, fantastic weather. And I'm just here to tell you, this is probably the most important thing I will share with you today. Overnight low is going to be down around 58. Perfect, perfect sleeping weather. Windows open, oh, great stuff. Half hour from now, we've got Dr. Keith Abloh joining us. We'll just try and analyze what would prompt former vice president. Our not ready for primetime vice president, Kamala Harris. No, I'm sorry to break it. She's still vice president. What would prompt her to do that bizarre accent in Detroit, Michigan? Right, there's got to be some psychological component to that, doesn't it, right? Just pandering, you think? I don't know.
For sick leave, you better thank a union member for paid leave. You better thank a union member for vacation time.
Thank unions for paid family leave. Thank unions for your vacation time.
It's exact same words. It's exactly the same speech. She only has one speech per day. She might deliver it 12 times. But why the goofy affectation in Detroit, Michigan? I don't know. I don't know. But maybe Dr. Keith Abloh can shed some light on that. And I've got a chance for you to win a family four-pack of tickets. The Apple and Cider Bluegrass Festival is coming up on September the 21st and September the 22nd. It's going to be right up the road from me at Hanover Vegetable Farm. You'll get the four tickets for the event, plus you'll be able to pick your own three-pound bag of apples. Yeah, it's going to be a great time. We'll do that at 5:33-ish. Will she be doing special accents everywhere that she goes? And the weird thing is, there's so many people now that have come out and said, hey, I've lived in Detroit, Michigan my entire life. I've never heard a human being who sounds like that. Nobody around. No, nobody has that accent. But maybe that was her attempt at an accent. Although it sounded more like kind of pandering to me. Did she get to the point where she said she was no ways tired like Hillary Clinton did when she was doing whatever she was doing a few years back? Remember that? Why not just tell me stuff? Just say things. Now, your things are all wrong. I'm going to grant you that. And the things you just said there are not actually true. But that's okay. You know, leave that for me to analyze, and I will. But I don't need the performance art portion of this. I really don't. All right, I got to ask us to turn in a fairly serious manner for a couple of moments here. During the time that you and I have been away from each other, the last couple of days, the bodies of six human beings who had been held hostage by the barbarians, the savages of Hamas, were returned to their families. Six human beings who were kidnapped by Hamas on October the 7th, 2024. You realize we're coming up on a year, 2023. We're coming up on a year. We're actually coming up on a year of this war. Hamas launched the war against Israel, and every time you turn around, Israel is being blamed for the war. I don't get it, but maybe that's because I know what the hell's going on, and some other folks are busy spouting a pro-Hamas agenda. But six human beings, they were being starved to death. They were being physically abused, mentally abused. And then when it became clear that the IDF, the Israel Defense Force, was like right around the corner, they were about to rescue these six people, what did Hamas do? Hamas slaughtered them. Now, I want you to take a listen. It's a longer piece than we normally do. We got a couple of pieces of Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. He's conducting a briefing, and it's filled with foreign press people. And you just have to hear what transpires. Cut number 5, please.
More than 40,000 Palestinians have now been killed in Gaza, a majority of whom are civilians. And these numbers are from the Palestinian Ministry of Health, but they are backed up by the United States, by international organizations. Humanitarian conditions in Gaza have degraded so much that diseases like polio and hepatitis A are now spreading. We have seen countless children be orphaned. We have seen countless mothers lose their children. How much is too much, sir? At what point is it time to end this war?
Well, we'll end the war when we achieve our war goals of making sure that Hamas can't repeat such atrocities. But we're fighting this war in a just war with just means. In fact, with means that no other army has ever fought. No other army has done, has taken the precautions that Israel has taken, sometimes at great risk, to make sure that we minimize the number of casualties. You talked about polio. We enabled now massive vaccination of polio. We want 90% of the Gazan people of Gaza vaccinated. I think 200,000, I think were vaccinated today. We put in 1 million tons of food, 1 million tons of aid, 700,000 tons of food. That's unheard of. We've taken, because we think that every civilian death is a tragedy. For Hamas, every civilian death is a strategy. For us, it's a tragedy.
I love Bibi. I really do. I'm ordering a Bibi Netanyahu t-shirt. I feel I've got to do something. You know, my trip to Israel got canceled. I need to go to Israel. I need to go. I don't just want to go. I need to go. But I've got to be as visible and as vocal and as passionate and as open and powerful as I can in saying there's a side to this which represents decency and humanity. And then there's the Hamas side, which is barbarism and savagery. I've got a couple more pieces from Bibi Netanyahu that I'm going to share with you. You know what? I got just enough time here. If you would please cut number five. Cut number six.
There are 1.4 million people in Gaza. They moved from the north to the south. You're going to have thousands, 20,000 killed. You're going to have a catastrophe, a humanitarian catastrophe. They have no place to go. No food to eat. Now report honestly, because here's what happened. They all left. They went to the humanitarian zone, which is 2 miles away, less, on the beach. They have tents. We supplied tents for 150,000 people. The aid agency supplied the rest, and some of them carried their own tents. They have a place. We supplied water lines, sewage lines, food. There's more to be done, medical. So now we know how many people were killed, how many terrorists, because we counted them. And we just passed 2,000. Terrorists, body counts of terrorists. The people left. How many civilians died? I asked the commander of the division that did the Rafah operation and the Philadelphia corridor. He said, Prime Minister, there are hardly any civilian deaths because everybody left. They heeded our warnings. But he said there were probably 24, and most of them occurred, 24. And most of them occurred when one of our bombs hit a Hamas ammunition depot that was planted inside a residential area. 40 people died, about 20 were terrorists, but 20 were civilians. And he said that's most of the deaths. That's the lowest ratio of non-combatants to combatants in the history of urban warfare. That's it.
Wow. Wow. I'm telling you, Bibi Netanyahu comes to a room, you hear clanging. When he walks into a room, oh yeah, no doubt about it. Bibi Netanyahu's English, by the way, is impeccable. Why? Well, because he grew up in Philadelphia. He actually grew up in Elkins Park, a suburb of Philadelphia. Graduated from Cheltenham High School. His father was a diplomat. Bibi Netanyahu is a no-nonsense sort of a guy. Why? It's not because he's a politician. It's not even because he's a leader. It is because he has on his shoulders the survival, not just of his nation, not just of Israel, but of the Jewish people. He has one of the heaviest burdens I have ever seen a human being tasked with. And you make no mistake, he is standing up and fighting for the survival of the Jewish people. Because we're the first target. It's amazing to me that I look for people who are supporting Israel. You know the strongest supporters of Israel right now? Evangelical Christians, God bless you and thank you. Evangelical Christians do more to help Israel than any other group on the face of the planet. It's true. You may not like to hear it, but I don't care. I got to tell you the truth. Dr. Keith Abel is going to be with us in a few moments. We'll try and figure out what could be going through Kamala Harris's mind to have this weird accent thing she was doing. And I got some tickets for you. Family four-pack for the Apple and Cider Bluegrass Festival. Also give you the opportunity to pick 3 pounds of apples for yourself. Pretty cool. 515 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. FM 521, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Taking a look at our Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Roxana sends a note. She says, Jeff, I am so glad you are back. Kudos to Governor Glenn Youngkin for lowering state flags in honor of the deceased American hostage with Virginia ties. Way more than our president or vice president. They didn't really even acknowledge it. Yeah, Governor Youngkin paying tribute to Hirsch Goldberg Polan, who was from Richmond. I mean, that's where his family was from originally. He lived here. He had a rather miserable final year of his life. I don't want to get into too many details because I know he still has family in the area, and I'm thinking about everybody that knew him or was related to him. But yes, thank you to Governor Youngkin for honoring his memory in that way. That's vitally important. Let me see. Mike says, hey, Jeff, regarding Hillary Clinton's no ways tired speech, I lost respect for Hillary completely when she made that speech. She took it from an old gospel song entitled No Ways Tired, which was written by James Cleveland during the early 70s. Michael says, hey, Jeff, so many of us realize, as you certainly do, that Prime Minister Netanyahu and the people of Israel are, as always, fighting for their very existence. It is nothing less than a war of evil versus good, and we must give the Jewish people our support. Thank you, Michael. That is, I think, absolutely correct, and it is very, very much appreciated. Now, you'll notice one of the things that happens with Bibi Netanyahu, he doesn't back down from any of this stuff. He doesn't go in and say, oh, you know what, I was pleading not guilty, now I'm pleading guilty, but it's an out for plea. It's not a real guilty plea, because that's what Hunter Biden is doing right now in Los Angeles. All of a sudden, 9 felony charges. He pled not guilty. They were there to choose a jury. All of a sudden, he changes his plea, but it's not a guilty plea. It's an Alford plea. And an Alford plea says, well, here's what we're going to say. I didn't do anything. But the prosecutor has a whole boatload of evidence that will convict me of this crime. So, what am I going to do? Right? I mean, that's what it is. And it is kind of bizarre for it to be done at this last minute. This is like a, like one of those Perry Mason moments that don't really happen in courtrooms in reality. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't know if the judge is going to accept it or if the judge is going to say, no, we're going to throw that away. Let me give you my final little snippet here from Prime Minister Netanyahu. Cut number 7, please.
Now report honestly, because you accused us of something that is outrageous. And in fact, the accusations against us are outrageously false. Humanitarian aid? A million tons of aid? 700,000 tons of food, a deliberate starvation policy, you can say anything. Doesn't make it true. You repeat a lie over and over and over again. It assumes the cachet of self-evident truth, but it's false. Israel is doing, and the Israeli army is doing, something that no other army has done in history and will continue to do that. I'm not going to change my policies. Humanitarian policies, vaccination policies, combat policies to minimize civilian casualties.
Man, he's the best. He's the best. I'm telling you right now. All right. Well, I don't know what else I can tell you. We are going to chat with Dr. Keith Ablow in just a couple of moments. We'll try and figure out what's going through Kamala Harris's mind when she decides for that audience in Detroit, Michigan, to put on this weird accent. Because you have to think about it, right? It doesn't just happen. It's not like some sort of... I don't know what it is. I just listened to a podcast that was all about this widespread hysteria that people just started doing things and it was all mental. But this seems to me to be like, you know, she had to think about that. So Dr. Abla will offer some insight on that. And I got a great prize for you, the family four-pack of tickets for the Apple Insider Bluegrass Festival. Make sure you're here for that. 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Five 5:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. I'm telling you right now, the weather is cooperating. It's going to be fantastic sleeping weather. 58 degrees overnight. Open a window, cuddle up. It'll be, oh, perfect, perfect. It is fall, well, for a day or two, then we'll be back to our regularly scheduled weather. But I've got a family four-pack of tickets for you. This is for the Apple Insider Bluegrass Festival, and it's always a lot of fun. Hanover Vegetable Farm, which just never does anything except a great job with any event they put on. They're great people at Hanover Vegetable Farm. But coming up September the 21st to 22nd, I've got a family four-pack Apple Insider Bluegrass Festival. In addition to all of the fun, you will also have the opportunity to pick 3 pounds of apples for yourself, and then take them away and eat them, which is good. As I observed earlier, we know that this is a family event. We have 4 tickets. If it were 2 tickets, then you would know it was a date, right? Because ladies, for some reason, that absolutely boggles my mind. Women seem to love picking apples, and they love apple picking as some sort of a date event. I am here to tell you, as a guy, I'm perfectly happy getting my apples at Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market. I don't ever need to go apple picking personally. I'll eat the apples you picked, but that's, you know, we're married for 108 years, so we're not dating anymore. Anyway, you've got the tickets. If you will be caller number 11 right now, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. We'll take caller number 11, make it nice and easy. You'll get the family four-pack, and I know you will have great, great fun. Germ, if you don't mind, can you play that sound of our not-ready-for-primetime vice president when she was in Detroit and then in Pittsburgh?
Union member for sick leave. You better thank a union member for paid leave. You better thank a union member for vacation time. Thank unions for paid family leave. Thank unions for your vacation time.
Okay. In addition to the fact that what you just said is demonstrably untrue, let's move past that. What possesses somebody to have that that vocal affectation? Is she playing a part? I just don't get it. So Dr. Keith Ablow, who you know is kind enough to join us each and every Friday Eve, I'm hoping has some sort of insight into this. Keith, I appreciate you being here as always, my friend.
Oh, it's my pleasure. How are you? Welcome back from your travels.
Well, thank you. Yes, it is. It's nice to be back. The thing that struck me, I'm just going to share this with you. I got off the train at Union Station in Washington, D.C., and I swear to you, it was like being an extra in a Cheech and Chong movie. It was a cloud of
oh, my God.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Wow, that's too bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's trying to alter their reality, including the vice president.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, I tell you what, it was like zombies there when I got off the train. The people were so stoned out of their head. But anyway, what is the deal with the vice president? You know, I can talk, I guess, to some of the political stuff and the rest of it, but is there some intellectual component? Is there something in her brain going, yeah, this is what I ought to do?
Huh. I think it may be more reflex than planned, because nobody would plan that. It's, you know, when I heard it, I thought I cringed. Mm-hmm. So I thought she's lapsing into some kind of fakery, like a reflex, because you'd never plan it. You'd never think you could get away with it, even an hour bizarre, unrealistic times. You can't, you know, appear to be one thing completely different than another depending on location. But I think that if you don't have a strong core, if you're actually not a substantive person, then you are a chameleon. And you can assume the affect or affectations of your surroundings rather easily. And imitate others. You know, I did this Clark Rockefeller case. I testified in that in Boston. He fooled everybody into thinking he was a Rockefeller. And when I met with him in his jail cell, he quickly proclaimed, my good man, surely you've traveled far. I said, please, Clark, we're in a jail cell. You're in an orange jumpsuit. What are you doing? And so I would say the same thing to the vice president. If she were to leave the podium and I were to be there, I'd be like, well, what was that? And the answer would be that she assumes the coloring of her surroundings like a chameleon. She can slip the binding of her existence and act, right, like another. And the trouble with that is if the world takes your pulse, your real pulse, they want your heartbeat. Who are you?
Exactly.
And if the answer is I'm a human chameleon without a firm center, I change my positions on everything to suit the moment. I even change my voice. I imitate other races. Then that will be detected by guys who you may agree with or disagree with, but Vladimir Putin ain't acting for anybody.
That's right. That's right. Wow.
Right? And neither is Donald Trump. So the choice couldn't be starker. We have one guy who can't help but be himself.
Yeah.
Which is the trouble that some people have with him. They're like, why does he have to say that? I wish you wouldn't tweet. I wish. I'm like, look, you know, yeah, you wish your neurosurgeon wouldn't, you know, throw the scalpel. But, man, if he's going to cut the glioblastoma out of your head like nobody else can, you might like that guy at the moment.
That's right.
And that's Trump. Trump is authentic. He is himself. He's not acting. When he did reality television, the reason it worked is that's who he is. He wasn't faking, right? That's why people said, yeah, man, that's authentic. I like that. With her, she couldn't do that because you'd say, I don't buy it. Like, I think she's faking and playing a character, which she is.
All right. Let's say you are a voter, an average voter, and you hear this. Is your takeaway, oh, well, now I like her, or God, she's just full of crap, or what the hell was that? I mean, I'm trying to put in the option list something positive, and I'm really having a tough time, but could she sway a single voter with that performance?
Okay, so there are still on the face of the planet people who have barometers for truth inside them.
Yes.
They will be repelled, even at an unconscious level, by
this.
That's
you and me. You and I feel exactly that way. Okay.
That's you and me. And even some people at the rally might cringe and think, I don't know if I'm going to vote. Like, this seems, something's wrong.
Yeah.
They just don't, maybe they can't put their finger on it. But I hate to say it, but there are a lot of people who are used to having avatars in video games and assuming the identity of a cartoon character in a game, who they themselves are a hall of mirrors, and their reflection is in none of the mirrors.
Wow.
It's all imitation, as it's to be as if. Those folks won't detect it as readily and might even buy it because it's no different sort of than a movie. I had a guy visit me. I'll change some details. But you know, he said, you know, well, you know, he's broken up with his girlfriend. He's gotten arrested for drugs. He's working at the, let's say, pizza place. And he said, but, you know, that's what that's like. That's not me. I'm like, well, what do you mean? Said, no, I'm like the number four war tune player in the Northeast. It's a video game. Said, so I have like wings, and I do battle with other people, And so really, I mean, that's what I am. This is like my alter ego in a way. I said, well, wait, why are you describing that as your alter ego? The pizza thing, that's the real thing, man. Like, if you don't get out of that joint, you're not going to progress. You're on drugs. You got arrested. He's thinking, no, my real identity is as an enemy combatant with wings and a special sword on War Tune, where I spend thousands of dollars to buy special costumes. Now, if that's possible in 2024, then the vice president putting on an accent and a vibe is going to sell to some percentage of the people. But God willing, not enough for her to become president of the United States. Otherwise, we've got a fake country. But we had a fake president the last time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does say something, does it not, Keith, that she's going on, I don't know, 40, 45 days, no one-on-ones, no real press events, and her campaign now is joy. It's joy, Keith. It's joy. It's all, I don't even know what that means, but...
It's joy.
Okay.
It's scripted. I mean, you can't, you know, this is the fear. At least there's a little bit of reticence. They're not sure she can pull off the performance of a Marlon Brando.
Right.
Where you're like, I don't know if I'd really, like, cross the Godfather. Like, I know he's acting, and yet he's really pulling it off. She's no Marlon Brando.
No.
Right? She can't pull it off, and you know, generally speaking, people can't. But, you know, she said she used to smoke marijuana. Lots of people do.
Yep.
She said, well, I also put people in jail for marijuana. And the difference is I didn't get caught, she said, with laughter, the crazy cackle. I didn't get caught. But if you're that person who can fake outrage, think of it, fake outrage and incarcerate people sometimes for many years for doing the very same thing you're doing.
That's right.
Then putting on a little show for the folks in an urban environment with a little accent is nothing. She throws people in jail as an act.
Wow.
Think of that as an act. Moral outrage at them smoking pot when she's smoking pot.
Yeah.
How can half the country almost, and hopefully it's less than half, vote for such a person to lead the country? Of course she's going to say the Constitution needs to be reined in. It's not sacred. It doesn't mean what it says because she doesn't mean what she says.
That is such a great... I mean, that's a straight line. That is completely linear. I'll tell you what, Keith. I'm going to wrap it with this, man. You're talking about how she's not Marlon Brando. Brother, she's not even Marla Thomas. I mean, she just is not that good at any of this stuff. It's... Well,
and that's the peril, because the world actually is based in reality, and reality always asserts itself. The truth always wins, as I always say.
Yep.
And real people with real long guns and missiles are taking the pulse of this nation at every moment, and hers is erratic. She's in atrial fibrillation of the mouth.
There you go. But she has picked up the endorsement of John McCain's son and Vladimir Putin. So I'm looking forward to seeing that on her campaign website any day now. Dr. Keith Abloh, KeithAbloh.com. Check him out, KeithAbloh.com. 546, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 551, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and we've got some fantastic sleeping weather. We do. It's going to be delightful. Absolutely delightful. I've got a little snippet here. You got to hear it. And I think we're going to have some soggy salads. As you know, that's how I refer to our leftovers here. I think we've done pretty well today, Germ, but we'll have a little bit. I'm the guy, I love soggy salads, right? Everybody else. You have your dinner. You've got some salad left over. You're going to pitch it. I know it. I've watched for my entire life. Everybody throws it away. And I'm thinking, oh, don't do that. I mean, I don't want your soggy salad, but my soggy salad? The day after, all of the dressing, the oil, the vinegar, it's all soaked into the lettuce leaves. It's delicious. Absolutely delicious. Oh. Anyway, so we'll have one or two little bowls of soggy salad after today, and we'll get to those tomorrow, I promise you. But Ben Shapiro had a little something to say, right? Cut number nine?
Again, I'm just asking you, if based on the numbers, more Germans died than Brits in World War II, did that mean that the British were wrong in World War II? Because they did. Many more Germans died than Brits. Based on the numbers, does that mean that Britain was wrong in World War II?
Britain wasn't bombing civilians.
She's a moron. And I mean that with all due respect, and I'm saying it in as friendly a way as possible. I didn't say she's a freaking moron, did I? No. I just said she's a moron. But I'm here to tell you, she is a freaking moron. You think she ever had a history class? She probably had a history class. You think she showed up for her history class? You think she passed her history class? That would be subject to debate, I assume. You believe, well, Britain wasn't, yes. Here's one word for you, ma'am. Dresden. That's all. Just go look it up. See what you can find out. I'm sure there are a few details there. I had one regret about my my visit to D.C. the last couple of days. I have to share this with you. I got, some card we have, and you get, like, little discounts for hotels and things. So I almost wound up making money on the hotel stay. Oh, I love this. I had a $100 credit for food while I was up there. Now, I'm in a hotel, so a cup of coffee is $18. So the $100 doesn't go nearly as far as you would expect, but it covered the one meal that I had to have there. Really, it was dinner, and it was great. But I also had two breakfasts each day. That's $120 worth of breakfast. I feel a little bit like John Pinette, you know? I couldn't use any of them, so I left that on the table. I just wanted to make sure they didn't make money on me. That's all. But I wasn't able to take advantage of that. And there's a part of me going, well, I should just not show up for my panel. No, seriously, I'll just tell all the very, very, very important big-time radio people at it. I can't come to the conference because, you know, I got to get my free breakfast. Then I'm going to go back and get another free breakfast. Yeah. Oh, so depressing. Okay, I want you to enjoy this evening. It's going to be a fantastic evening. It's getting cooler. The humidity is lower, which is great. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., John Reed will be here. Maybe tomorrow he'll announce he's running for lieutenant governor. Or maybe not. I don't know. You got to tune in at 6. Tomorrow, well, God willing, you and I have the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.